Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Looking ahead to Valentine's Day, ads for fancy chocolates and bouquets of flowers are shown as far as the eye can see. There are, of course, tangible ways to show love for one's significant other, if they respond to it. But today we're looking at a way to strengthen your marriage that exists far beyond Valentine's Day. That's right, marriage counseling. Is that what you were expecting? Marriage counseling can have a negative connotation associated with it, but Joseph Pribble, licensed marriage and family therapist, is joining us today to relieve some of the stigma behind counseling and offer some tips on how you might enter into a deeper appreciation and love for your spouse. Joe, welcome to Practicing Catholic.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Joe, what are some of the common grievances that married couples are seeking to resolve through marriage counseling? What tends to be at the root of those issues?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of issues that might arise for couples that would have them come to therapy, and unsurprisingly, those things are often issues like the couple getting upset or having trouble finding enough time to spend with one another. They have trouble kind of connecting through a sense of the other person being sensitive enough to what one person might be struggling with or going through. They might be bickering or arguing about, you know, not having enough help from the other person with stuff happening at home or with the kids. Financial issues are always a common thing that bring people in. Intimacy issues, parenting concerns, betrayals, all of these things are pretty common. And the good news is that therapy can be very helpful for helping couples to address these things. And when you ask about what the roots of these issues are, not to oversimplify it, but if I put it under one larger umbrella, what I tend to look at is that conflicts arise around these things oftentimes because of an anxiety that comes from an uncertainty over whether one's spouse can say confidently that the other person is there for me. Now, that might not be a conscious question that they're asking themselves, but somewhere deeper down, there's this sense of, you know, I want to feel secure in what's happening, and I'm not feeling that security. And when there's doubt there, then negative emotions can begin to stir, and a person can then seek to gain reassurance from the other person, but that often comes out in ways that are not always very productive. And I think of anger as one example of how people try to express to the other one that I'm needing something, I'm lacking some confidence or some connection, and I'm wanting it from you. It tends to get the other person defensive, and you can see how this can go back and forth and escalate things. So yeah. Therapy really tries to help couples kind of be guided through that process of looking beneath the surface to address what's underneath and helping them feel more secure and connected with one another.
Okay, so that said, how do we begin to tackle? What I hear you saying, Joe, is that it really oftentimes boils down to that confidence that the other person is there for me. And that's one of the things that does manifest itself in a number and variety of ways, some less helpful ways. So how do we begin to address that and tackle that even early on, even before we're recognizing that there's a serious problem here? Is that something that marriage counseling, even at an early stage, is helpful?
Sure, I think so. And I think, you know, even before, you know, a couple might be married, as they're going through kind of a process of discerning what might be in store for them in terms of just, you know, the possibility of married life, I think it's helpful to just, you know, recall that we all come from some place. We all have experience in relationships with others. And we want to perhaps think about, you know, where have I felt, confident in having that secure connection with somebody else? What experiences have led me to feel that? If I haven't had much of that, then I think we want to take more time to develop that experience with somebody. And that means taking risks, and that can be scary, because if I don't know if in taking a risk with somebody else, in small or great things, that person is going to respond in the way that I needed them to, then I'm likely to experience this kind of anxiety that I was talking about before. So we want to take at least a chance, starting small, with taking those risks with somebody else. And it might be something such as just revealing something about oneself that is generally not what someone would share with somebody else. And that doesn't mean, sharing your deepest, darkest, or most embarrassing experience with somebody else, but just taking a chance to say, this is something that, happened to me, last week or last month or 10 years ago or what have you. And this is the way that I see it, having kind of impacted me over this amount of time. And that's opening oneself up to the other person and to be able to respond. Ideally, the other person will respond in a way that's affirming, one that is empathetic, and that gives more confidence in knowing that, okay, yes, you are there for me. You can take what I'm sharing with you, and it doesn't cause you to fear or run away or back off, but it keeps you engaged, and that helps me to feel more confident.
Mm. Great points, and I'm not even sure where to pick up on those, because there are some great advice there in terms of opening oneself up, and as you said, as is appropriate to the stage of the relationship and everything. Mm. But any particular, especially our hearts kind of turn towards the relationships that we are in, specifically the relationship for married couples that you're in with your spouse around this time of the year, around Valentine's Day. Any suggestions for how, in addition to, I won't say in lieu of, but in addition to the chocolates and the flowers and the dinner and that sort of thing, what's some tangible ways that we might open ourselves up to the other in conversation or in other ways?
Yeah, well, I think, that we're approaching Valentine's Day. It's a nice built-in opportunity within our calendar and our schedules to kind of take a good, a better look at where we're at and what we want to, emphasize and focus on as it comes to being a couple. We can think of Valentine's Day as one day, or we can think of our marriage as a vocation that happens every day.
Right.
And then decide that there are little ways that we ought to and probably need to take advantage of to stay connected, especially when life kind of pulls us in a lot of different directions. So, thinking practically, small things like staying in contact in some form or another, whether it's by sending short emails or text messages, or just noting that I'm praying for you, or I'm thinking about you in some way. Maybe it's just kind of leaving a nice note or some kind of treat. I mean, candy is a gift to be given, I think, all year round, not just on Valentine's Day. I think it's okay to even be planting a few chocolates here and there, if that's something that is a way that you demonstrate affection and is a form of affection that's well received by your spouse. So, just ways to demonstrate that I'm thinking of you and because you're important to me.
Right, and that seems to follow on well with what you were saying before, is that if the issues really go down to, can I trust that you're there, you're going to be there for me, even when there might not be a presenting crisis at hand, it seems like it's always a good idea to remind your spouse that, hey, I am thinking of you, or hey, even though you didn't ask for me to, you are going through my mind, and I want to do something tangible to express that, to show you that. And so, I know text messages are a way that my wife and I tend to do that. We tend to just send each other, hey, just thinking of you, love you, or something like that, which has really helped. It's helped a lot. But let's talk about married couples with children for a minute, Joe. It's presumed to be tough to devote time to one another in the midst of corralling children and the overall experience of parenthood. So what are some helpful ways to reconnect throughout the day amidst the craziness of parenting when you add the children into the mix as well?
Right. I think, it definitely does get tough when there are, kids that are there and need a lot of attention. And of course, parenting is a full-time job and then some. And yet we don't want to lose sight of the fact that, the foundation on which, our family exists is us as a couple. And what flows through that is how we do with one another. Our kids benefit from that as well. So therefore, if you want to think of it as a built-in excuse to say, okay, this is a time for, me and my spouse to really just be able to focus on one another, that's a necessary element, I think, of the relationship, the marriage relationship, but also, for the benefit of the family as well. So it's tough, sure, especially if you're, planning some kind of night out or something and needing to find somebody to watch the kids, that can be an effort sometimes too. But you know, can things that you do as a family be also looked at as, you know, this is something that between a husband and wife, this is for us primarily, but we're, you know, and the kids might be in tow, but they're, you know, having fun along with us. But really, you know, we're mindful and even explicit with one another about the fact that, you know, we're doing this so that we stay connected, so that we can feel like, you know, we are close, even if, you know, we're also having to tend to the kids at the same time.
Right, right. Well, and I think that is an important point to say that, well, yeah, that we're trying to connect with one another in the midst of connecting through the kids too. That we're still there. We're still needing that, even though the kids do, and probably rightly so, take up a lot of our attention and our focus. But it's still important for the sake of parenting and parenting together that we continue to look out for one another. So good tips, Joe. But I'm thinking in my own life, and I'm guessing some of our listeners are thinking too, is that how can I actually stick with these? How can I actually incorporate them into my life and then make them a regular part of my habit of speaking with my spouse? So any ideas about how one can really work towards having these new suggestions stick?
Yeah, you know, it can sound rather simple, but I think sometimes, like when, you know, I take the example of, you know, making a New Year's resolution, so many of us make them, and we might stick with them for a while into the new year, but so often they kind of fade into the distance.
Right.
And I think oftentimes that happens just because, you know, the resolution remains in our minds. It's an idea that we have, and we're holding ourselves accountable to it with just that idea in mind. And when it's just an idea, it has no physical form, and we can shape it any way we want. And therefore, when we get busy, we can just decide that, well, yeah, I'll alter this resolution in some way or this idea, and it will be, you know, easier for me to kind of sometimes just put by the side and you know, let it go. So a simple thing sometimes that's quite helpful is just, you know, taking an idea and giving it physical form just by writing it down, having it there in front of me, that this is my idea, this is what I want to do. And, you know, maybe sharing it with one spouse, or maybe the two spouses are putting this down together, that this is, you know, what we have as a goal. But, you know, taking it perhaps in small chunks too, that, you know, we might think of, like, you know, well, by the end of this year, you know, here's where we want to be with our relationship, and that's fine. But what are the small steps that need to be taken to get to that larger goal, and focus more on the near term so that we can see the progress that we're making and feel good about the success we're having? I think that will, you know, breed more confidence and enthusiasm to keep going. So it's not necessarily an earth-shattering kind of idea, but, you know, the simpler the better, I think, if it certainly helps.
So, and just back to kind of an original question too, Joe, as couples are kind of thinking, yeah, all this sounds good. I think we'd like to lay it out, and then maybe they try it for a few months or something like that, and there doesn't seem to be the progress that they were hoping for making. Is that an okay time to involve a counselor or a therapist in that sort of situation, even though things aren't dire at that point?
Sure. I think, you know, a lot of people look at marriage counseling or couples counseling as something to do when problems do arise, but, and that's certainly what it's there for, but it's also, you know, something that can be engaged before anything becomes a major issue. So helping couples with the dynamics that they'd like to achieve, even when things are going pretty well, you know, is something that a therapist is going to be trained to guide and lead a couple through. And it's all about having that experience. And I think that's, you know, what can be so powerful with therapy, is just that you get this individualized attention and you get to have this experience with your spouse that maybe isn't common for you. And that develops something new and creates more of a sense of connection.
Wonderful. Well, Joe, we're grateful for your advice, your tips here. And I'm thinking, even, you know, I might treat my wife to a Valentine's Day dinner, and you know, maybe the first step in terms of implementing some of the things that you suggested today is just to have the conversation, saying, hey, how might we grow closer together in the midst of our marriage, and just say, you know, I was doing this interview with this guy named Joe. So,
right. So, great idea.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, Joe Pribble, we are so grateful that you joined us here on Practicing Catholic. May God bless you in your continued work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have enjoyed this time, and God bless you and all the listeners as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe. Well, coming up right after this next break, Sister Fabiola and Sister Maddie of Pro Ecclesia Sancta share about the gift of spiritual motherhood and a look at being a bride of Christ this Valentine's Day. So stay with us.